walks in. I don't mean physical appearance, but how would they live? How would they act? What do you think someone would look like if they're walking in truth? Chick, you're banned. You were here this morning. Anyone? Any ideas? Sorry? Truthful? Yep, yep. Yeah, if they're walking in truth, it makes sense, doesn't it? Loving? Yep. Gav? Kind? Yep. Generous? Yep. Thanks, John. Service? Acts of service? Yep. So serving people? Christ-like? Yep. So, I know Rob just asked, you know, said truth, but if someone's not telling the truth, they're obviously not living in truth, are they? And what about if someone steals? Are they walking in truth? Thank you. Someone said no, Dan. What if someone is greedy? Are they walking in truth? No. What if someone is immoral? What if someone doesn't love other Christians? No. What if someone doesn't shower? Well, that's debatable, but what if someone doesn't show hospitality? Are they walking in truth? And what motivates someone who walks in truth? And what do they look like? This is what we're going to be looking at today as we look at this letter, 3 John. Now, this letter is written by John, one of the 12 apostles, who's one of the 12 disciples that Jesus chose to share in his ministry and to spread the gospel. Now, John has written this to Gaius, and the only things we know about who Gaius is come from this letter. But what we see is that John hasn't written a letter to instruct someone who's immature in their faith or to rebuke someone for a sin. And he hasn't written a letter to a church, but John's written to a man, Gaius, to affirm and encourage him to continue to walk in truth by showing hospitality. So have a look at verse 13 with me. John says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. See, there are actually a lot of things that John wants to tell Gaius. There's a lot of things that John wants to talk to Gaius about. But he chooses not to, and he chooses here to talk about hospitality. And I think, well, isn't there something more important that John would have to say to Gaius? Why does he only talk about this? I think the reason why John has chosen to talk about hospitality is because it actually shows a deeper truth about how we live and how we walk. So what does someone who walks in truth look like? And what's their motivation? Well, up on the screen, we'll see that knowing God causes us to walk in truth, which means that we will love our brothers, which means that we'll show hospitality. Means that we will love our brothers and sisters in Christ and we'll show hospitality. Let's have a look at 3 John, see how this works. What's the first thing that the brothers tell John about Gaius? Have a look at verse 3. They come and they tell John that he is faithful to the truth. Now, what is the truth that Gaius is faithful to? This is a real repeated phrase that's come up in John's letters. If you remember last week when Jonathan spoke, he spoke from 2 John, and the idea of truth came up again. So I'd like just to just flick back. Thank you, Michael. Flick back to 1 John, so a couple of pages back. 1 John chapter 5, verses 20. We'll all read it. 1 John chapter 5, verses 20. Verse 20. Okay, 1 John 5, 20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So this verse is telling us that God is the truth. It tells us that Jesus is God and that Jesus is truth and eternal life. Flick back just one more chapter to chapter 4, verse 6. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Here John writes, we are from God. That's we, the apostles. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So not only is God truth, is Jesus God, and Jesus truth and eternal life, but the spirit is truth. and the Spirit is in those who know God. So when John is writing to Gaius, and he says in verse 3, in 3 John, that you are faithful to the truth, John is acknowledging that Gaius knows God and has faith in him, and that the Spirit lives in him. Now, this knowledge that Gaius has is not a knowledge about God. Gaius doesn't just know about God, but the knowledge that Gaius has is a knowledge of God through relationship. Can you see that there are different types of knowing someone? So in the same way that you can know of someone, know of a person, or you can know them through relationship. It's very different if you know someone who you've met once, or if you know someone who you're married to or who you grew up with. It's very different. But this is even more than that, because God actually lives in us by his Spirit. I know a guy. Has anyone seen the news recently where there was a garbage truck that crashed into a house? Anyone see that on the news? So you know of the guy, he's got his house run into by a garbage truck. Well, you might know of him. I actually know him. His name's Danny. He goes to college with me. And during the holidays, a garbage truck drove through his lounge room wall in the middle of the night. And see, there's different ways to know. And the way that Gaius knows God is he knows him through relationship, and God's Spirit is in him. And because he knows God, it causes him to walk in the truth, which means that he'll love his brothers and sisters in Christ, which means that he'll show hospitality. See, look at verse 6 with me. They have told the church about your love. So these brothers, John calls them, these Christians who have been out traveling, they come back to John, and what's the first thing they tell him? They say, Gaius is faithful and he loves. And he tells them about the love. So this love, they've seen this love because of Gaius' hospitality. See verse 5, John says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you." So this love is shown in hospitality. Now I'd like you to think of your closest relationships and what characterizes them. What characterizes, what causes those really close relationships you have? Is it because you have some similar interests? Is it because maybe you think the same way or you have similar personality types? Do you have similar hobbies that you like to do? Or is there more than that? I know that in the relationships that I have that have lasted, it's been more than just similar interests. I mean, a lot of the friends that I used to ride dirt bikes with as kids, I don't have the same close relationship with anymore. Because there's more than just having something in common. But it's about sharing lives with each other and being hospitable and opening ourselves up to each other, welcoming each other in. It's been said that true hospitality turns strangers into friends. And see how Gaius welcomes these strangers, but then when they go home, they talk of his love. They don't say how he was polite or a good cook, or maybe they did. But the one thing that really stands out is that he loved them. His love was shown in action through his hospitality to them. Because he knows God, he walks in truth, which means he loves his brothers and sisters, and he shows hospitality. And you see, you can't separate that. You can't know God and not walk in truth. You can't walk in truth and not love brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't love other Christians and not show hospitality. It's inseparable. Now, hospitality is not the only thing that comes out of knowing God. There are lots of things, as we talked about before. Being truthful, being kind, lots of things. But hospitality is part of it and it's inseparable. Now, what comes of Gaius' hospitality? What's the outcome? Look at verse 7 and 8 with me. "It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth." Now the name that John is speaking of is Jesus' name. It's the gospel. These men that went out, these strangers to Gaius, these men were probably missionaries or maybe off to plant churches or just preachers who were going around and preaching. They've gone out to proclaim the gospel, the great news of our hospitable God. And see, verse 8, when Gaius shows hospitality to them, he actually becomes a partner in their mission. He becomes a partner with them in the gospel. And it's also our responsibility to support those who work for the truth. Like Brian, our minister. He works in ministry and it's our responsibility to support him. Now, these days we can support in many ways. We can support it via, you know, FPOS, we can transfer money for missionaries who are overseas. But here in Gaius Day, unless you were there and helping the person that you could see, they wouldn't receive any help. So when we share hospitality with people who are sharing the gospel, what we're actually being a part of is sharing the message of an almighty God who is hospitable and welcomes strangers into heaven. This cost him a lot. See, God actually became a man. He lived, he was rejected, he was killed. He died to pay the penalty for our sins, for our rejection of God, so that we can be loved and accepted by God and welcomed in as friends. What an incredibly hospitable God. This is incredible hospitality, to take strangers and make us friends. And I want to say to you, if you are not friends with God, if you don't know God like Gaius knows God, if you don't have a knowledge of God that is rooted in relationship with him, if you have not received this friendship with God through Jesus, I want to tell you that God is incredibly hospitable and he wants to know you and make you his friend. Now notice that Gaius doesn't show hospitality. It's not because Gaius shows his hospitality that means he's from God. So being good, doing hospitality, doesn't earn him to God, but it's because he knows God, it's because he's from God that he will show hospitality. Because knowing God means walking in truth, which means loving brothers and sisters, which means showing hospitality. And if we know God's hospitality, it's wrong for us not to share it. It's wrong for us not to share the gospel if we know the gospel of this incredible God who loves us. John makes this even clearer in verses 9 to 11. 9 to 10. We'll just read 9 to 10. Have a look with me. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Now, Diotrephes is obviously some kind of church leader. He's got some kind of control in this church, some sort of leadership. And he's causing a rift. He's causing tension and alienation between this church and other Christians. Other Christians like John, who have authority, who are teaching the gospel. Now, the depth of his sin is really shown in his refusal to welcome sinners. In his refusal to welcome the brothers. See, what we see is that Diotrephes, opposite to Gaius, Diotrephes doesn't show hospitality. And this actually means that Diotrephes does not love the brothers and sisters. This means that Diotrephes is not walking in truth because Diotrephes does not know God. We read before 1 John 4 verse 6. I'll read it again. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, John is one of the apostles. He's commissioned by God to share the gospel. He's commissioned by God to have authority in the church and to spread it. And here, Diotrephes is rejecting him. He's having nothing to do with him. See, Diotrephes actually doesn't have the spirit of truth in him. He doesn't know God, but he has the spirit of falsehood. And sadly today, there are still many church leaders and Christian authority figures who actually don't know God. Now, what does someone who walks in the truth look like? Verse 11 says we must imitate good. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So what is good? Why are we to do what is good? Why is good from God? Well, it's because God is good. It's in his nature. And if we know God and God is in us, we must do good. We can't help but to do good. Because knowing God means walking in truth, which means we'll love other Christians and others, and means we'll show hospitality. So practically, how does this look for us? Hospitality will be different. How we show our hospitality will be different. Hospitality is still the same. It's still welcoming and loving people and bringing them into our lives. Every one of us is called to do it. Guys, girls, introverts, extroverts, young, old. But how exactly will we do it? What does it involve? What does it look like? Well, as many of you will know, Keely and I haven't been here really long. But we've been impressed by the hospitality people have shown to us. And one family that's shown hospitality to us has been the McClellan family. You'll see a photo of them up on the screen behind me. Now, when we first met them at church, they invited us over that Thursday. They said, you know, come over for dinner on Thursday. We'd love to have you around. So in typical Scott fashion, on Thursday afternoon, I was running really late. So Keely and I jumped in the car and raced off to their house 10 minutes late. By the time we got there, we could tell they were really upset that we'd been late. You know, they were watching the clock, and we also felt really uncomfortable because Fiona was wearing a ball gown, and Matt was dressed up in a tuxedo, and we felt really uncomfortable. So they welcomed us into their house. And we were blinded by the light. Every surface shined. It was so clean and spotless. It looked like Mr. Muscle had attacked the place. The glass chandelier was sparkling, and not a thing was out of place. We thought we could never have them at our house because our house is not this clean. It would just be embarrassing. They then ushered us into the formal dining room where we sat in antique Victorian armchairs. And we had fancy hors d'oeuvres and drank French champagne. The children entertained us by playing Mozart on the baby grand piano. And then we ate a three-course meal. By the time we left, we were glad to get out of there because we'd had such a rotten time. And we hadn't gotten to know them at all. And so we left and hoped they'd never invite us again. Now, I hope you can see from the photos that that's not at all what happened. They actually invited us around. We had a lovely time. They invited us to their home as it was and into their family as they were. And we talked and enjoyed time as they loved us. Now, real hospitality isn't actually about really fancy do's. It's not about matching napkins or a really fancy meal or about a spotless house. Or about a really great event. But what real hospitality is not done to impress, but it's done to love. It's not out of pride or self-seeking, but it's self-sacrificing and humble. And sometimes we don't show hospitality because we're worried about the things that don't matter so much, the details. Sometimes we might not have someone over because we haven't vacuumed, or, you know, perhaps we won't invite someone out, you know, to go to a certain movie because we don't think they'll like it. Maybe, whatever it is. Sometimes we don't show hospitality when we should. But hospitality is about welcoming and loving. Now, who can we show hospitality to? Everyone. There are always new people at church, new people at school, new people at youth group. Just people that we meet. And often people are left. There's always people that are left out. There's always a new person or someone who's outside of the group that gets left out. We need to be loving. We need to invite people. We need to make sure we think of people and how we can love them. Married people, I want to encourage married people to think about people who are single and how we can love each other no matter what stage of life we're in and not to leave anyone out. I had a friend who was telling me that after he left the workplace, the only friends that he had at work after he left the workplace were the friends that he'd had over to his house for a meal. They were the only ones that were still friends after he left. Now, I think I'd like to finish with verse 6. So just look at verse 6 with me. Verse 6, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, I want to ask, you know, could fancy napkins impress God? Could a fancy three-course meal impress God? I want to say that welcoming and loving people, inviting them into our lives, is what God desires. We don't need a house to do that. We just need to be loving and welcoming and inclusive of people. And us knowing God means that we'll walk in truth, which means we'll love our brothers and sisters, which means we'll show hospitality, which means we'll welcome and love people and hope to make strangers friends. Now let's pray, and then we'll continue in the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're an incredibly hospitable God. We thank you that even though we were strangers who had rebelled against you, that you love us so much that you would come to earth to be rejected, to die, and to pay the penalty for our sin, so that you can welcome us in to your family and into heaven. Lord, we thank you and we pray that as we know you, it will cause us to walk in truth, that will cause us to love others and to show hospitality. Amen.
Sir, if I can call... Sorry, flipped right around. If I can call Christianity a religion, it's such a good religion if I can...